father's son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf, and because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Thank you very kindly. Let's pray together. Lord God, we celebrate life today. That's why we're here. Your presence among us makes this such a special occasion, a time for refreshment, a time to be renewed, a time for the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. And as you touch us with your grace, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, one day, a very young man who had all the material things he could ever hope to have stopped by to talk with Jesus for just a short time. "Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? If you could just give me a clue, what must I do?" And Jesus responded, "Well, why do you question me about being good? You see, God is the only one who's good. If you want to enter the life of God, just do what God tells you." And the man asked, "What in particular are you talking about? What?" And Jesus said, "Well, don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as you do yourself. Just do all of those things." And the young man said, "Well, I've done all of that. What's left? I mean, I've done everything that I can do. I follow all the rules. I follow all the regulations. I'm very scriptural. I'm very religious. I do everything that I possibly could do. What do you want? What else is there?" "Well," said Jesus, "get rid of everything you have, all of your material possessions. And then come follow me." What was that again? "Well, get rid of all your possessions, sell them, and then come and follow me. Give them to the poor who have nothing." Well, that was the last thing this guy expected to hear. I mean, he's done everything properly. He's followed all the rules and regulations. He's one of the best you could possibly find anywhere. And he couldn't understand this at all. And so, crestfallen and in despair, he walks away. He was holding on to a whole lot of things he cherished. And he couldn't give any of them up for Jesus or the kingdom about which he spoke. Well, the disciples were confused about all of this. They were sort of taken back. They were staggered by all of this. "Then who has any chance at all?" they asked Jesus. "Who has any chance?" And Jesus' comment, I think, was right on target. He said, "There is no chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself." Ooh. No chance at all if you think you can pull it off yourself. The younger son in Luke 15 was lost and he knew he couldn't pull it off himself. He got to the point where he was down in the gutter and didn't know where else to turn. He couldn't do it himself anymore. And so he went back home. But the older son stayed home. And he set the perfect stage for us by playing the perfect son. Oh, he did everything. He stayed with mom and dad, took care of the grounds, worked the property. He was ever obedient. He was always there. Oh, he did everything. And he thought he could pull it off without a hitch. But he was wrong. He was wrong. He couldn't do it by himself. Edward Martin really sets the stage for us today when he writes these words. Within my earthly temple, there's a crowd. There's one of us that's humble and one of us that's proud. There's one that's brokenhearted for his sins. There's one that unrepentant sits and grins. There's one that loves his neighbor as himself, and one that cares for naught but fame and self. From much corroding care, I should be free. If I could once determine which is me, if I could just determine which I am I the older brother or the younger brother? I was both, because I'm a middle child. I had an older brother, and I was the younger brother to my sister. But even when I was growing up in Pennsylvania, as the younger brother, I think I was the older brother. And my older brother, from every definition I read in Luke's gospel, must have been the younger brother. Oh, was he ever wild? And there, little Bobby, he was always at home. He was there steadfast. He remained cool and aloof from his big brother. But then the older I got, the younger I became. So I don't know whether I'm the older brother or the younger brother. Oh, what an experience. Well, the younger brother or the older brother, they're both equally dangerous, I think. The younger brother's flight from his father was crashingly obvious, says Tim Keller. He left the father literally, physically, emotionally, and morally. Every which way we try to describe it and define it, the younger brother, the younger son, was lost, completely lost. And we're happy to admit that. He was gone. He was just a wretch. Consented all himself. Living shall forfeit fairy. No, that's another story. The younger son is lost, and it's so easy to see. We see him shaming his father, ruining his home, his family, sleeping with prostitutes, eating with pigs. He's done it all. He's done it all. Yep, he's lost. Okay, let's write him off. But then Jesus said, I'm really going to set you on the edge of your seats for just a moment. The older son is lost as well. He's just as lost as the younger son. Now, wait a minute. I'm here in church today, aren't I? You're not equating me with the older son, are you? I do everything right. I follow the book. I read my scripture. I pray every day. I give 0.1% of my money to the church. I'm sorry. I mean, I do all the things that are correct and right. I mean, I do it all. But take a look at the older brother. He was actually more distant and more alienated from the father than the younger son was. The younger guy ran away, was closer to his dad than the older one who was living in the house. Take a look at Luke 15 and you'll find when we talk about the younger and older brothers, almost one half, more than one half of this particular story is about the older son, not the younger one. And most of the time when we talk about this particular parable and the prodigal son, we focus on the younger one, not the older one. Elizabeth Elliot recounts an apocryphal story. Apocryphal stories are ones about Jesus, but they're not in the Bible. And it's a wonderful story that gives us a clue about the older brother's difficulties. And let me share this with you. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I'd like you to carry a stone for me. What's that again? I have a stone I'd like you to carry for me. He didn't give any explanation at all. Jesus just said, I'd like you to carry the stone. So the disciples looked around for a stone to carry, any kind of stone. And Peter, being the practical guy he was, looked for the smallest stone he could find. He looked and he looked and he found, oh yes, a very small stone. Ah, yes, I am following my master. And he put the stone in his pocket, and he was quite pleased. And then Jesus said, follow me. And he led them on a journey, and about noon time, Jesus had everyone sit down, and he waved his hands across all the stones, and they turned to bread. And he said, now it is time for lunch. And in a very few seconds, Peter's lunch was gone. Well, when lunch was over, Jesus had all of his disciples stand. They had a most nutritional lunch. And he said, I'd like you to carry a stone for me. Aha! And the disciples began to look for stones. And Peter began to look for boulders. He looked everywhere he could find, and he found the largest stone he possibly could carry without any additional help. And he picked up that stone and was ready to go. And he hoisted it on his back thinking, oh, I just can't wait for supper time. And Jesus said, follow me. And they left on their journey. And around supper time, Jesus led the disciples to the other side of the river. And he said to the disciples, to each one of you, now throw your stones into the water. And they did. And Jesus said, follow me. And began to walk. Well, Peter and the others looked at Jesus dumbfounded. I mean, for crying out loud, what are you doing? And Jesus sighed and said, don't you remember what I asked you to do? Who were you carrying the stone for? Who were you carrying the stone for? Were you carrying it for me? Or were you carrying it for you? Why are you here today? Why are you carrying the stone? That's the question that's raised. As we look at the older brother, and as we look at our own journey with Christ, what a remarkable story. Like Peter, the older brother expects his goodness and his mortality and his decency to pay off. If I am good and if I do all that is expected of me, then what do I get in payment? And if we see there isn't any payment, all of a sudden we become confused, enraged, uncertain. We don't know where to go. What is it all about? Keller writes some interesting words. Some people are complete elder brothers. They go to church and obey the Bible, but out of expectation that then God owes them big time. What does God owe you and what does God owe me because we are here? And we all have our list of things. If I can be so good that God has to answer my prayers and give me a good life and take me to heaven, then I may be looking for Jesus to be my helper and my rewarder and my companion, but he isn't my savior. And the irony of all of this is that if he isn't my savior, then in this journey, I become my own Savior, because I can do it without any help at all. Boy, this story gets more interesting as we dig into it. Remember the story of Zacchaeus, the rich tax collector? He was a wee little man, that Zacchaeus. And in the midst of the crowd, he couldn't see Jesus. He could hear him, but being small in stature, he climbed the sycamore tree for a better view of the crowd and a better view of Jesus. And Jesus saw him and yelled at him, "Zacchaeus, if you come down out of the tree, I have some good news for you. I'm going to stay at your house today." Oh my gosh, if I heard that from Jesus, he doesn't know about all the dirty dishes sitting around in the sink and in the dishwasher. Oh my gosh, I'm going to have to clean up the house for him to come. "I'm coming to have dinner with you today." And of course, people grumbled because Jesus was going to be the guest of a sinner. Why is it he always hung out with the riffraff of society and the sinners? Not the good folks, not the elder sons, but always the younger sons. That's so cool about Jesus. And you know the rest of the story. Zacchaeus did an about face. He totally turned himself around. Holy smokes, it was so good. He gave half of his possessions to the poor. He paid that back all the people he had cheated over the years. Man, he has done everything. And Jesus said, "Today salvation has come to this house." And then in verse 10, Jesus describes his mission and his ministry. "For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." He came to seek out and save not only the young son, but us older sons and daughters who seem to have placed our faith in a very exacting, routine, moralistic stage. And he's come to save us as well. By this he means to save younger runaway sons and daughters and those of us who are lost in the midst of the routine and miss God altogether. If we can even do that in worship, we can come, we can say hello, we can shake hands, we can hug, we can kiss, we can eat, we can eat, we can eat again. And we can sing, and we can sing songs we know and songs we don't know, and we listen to the choir, and we listen to Barbara, and we enjoy being together, and we can leave. Oh, and we left God there too. Because in the midst of it, we forgot who called us and why we are here. Writes Timothy Peterson these words: "The difference between a religious person and a true Christian is that the religious person obeys God to get control over God and things from God, but the Christian obeys just to get God. Just to love and please and draw closer to him." Whoa! The difference between the religious person and the Christian. The problem with the lost brother is that he is us. I don't know how many of you like Beetle Bailey. Being an old military person, even though this guy isn't Air Force, I read Beetle Bailey on occasion because there's some words of wisdom to learn from this particular comic strip. This past week, Doc was looking through the paper and he saw words Afghanistan and Iraq written on the front of the paper. And he opens it up, though, and he says, "I think I see light at the end of the tunnel." And the lieutenant responds, "Now I wish you'd tell the general." And in the last panel of this cartoon, the lieutenant says of General Halftrack, "He always sees another tunnel at the end of the tunnel." And old brothers are that way. Older brothers, with all of their religion, always see another tunnel and never a light at the end of that tunnel. Take a look at the older brother and his signs of lostness. See if we fit in there at any point in time. He became angry and refused to go to the celebration of the younger brother. Have you ever had that or experienced that in your family where somebody didn't show up? And because there's a little rift going on in the family, or people are not talking to each other, and anger seems to control relationships, even in blood relationships. And we wonder why anger controls our world in which we live, because we as Christians aren't doing a very good job with it ourselves. The older brother became angry. His faith and life became mechanical. And let me tell you, after 50 years of doing what I do, it can become mechanical. It becomes mechanical for you too. I go through a certain routine almost every day of the week and every Sunday of every month of every year for nearly 50 years. And it can be so very routine, except for one thing, you're there. And the power of God's Spirit makes such a remarkable difference. But the older brother was caught up in the routine and never met the father he was looking for. In coldness, he talks of his brother as this son of yours when he addresses the father. This son of yours, not my brother. His pride is overwhelming. You never gave me a young goat so I could celebrate. You killed a fatted calf for him. I just want some pork chops and some mashed potatoes smothered with gravy, if you don't mind. And maybe some mixed vegetables on the side and a tossed salad and a piece of pumpkin pie. But you never did that for me. And when you take a look at it, he is unforgiving and he has such a judgmental spirit, and it's chilling when he says this. When you can almost hear him, when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted cat for him. And this is a good, religious, upright, morally standing son. The sad conclusion of the parable is not that the younger son knew he was lost and alienated from the father, but the older brother never knew it. He didn't know it, and he was more lost than the other younger son could have ever been. The moral of the story, says Peterson, is simply this: a moralistic religion works on the principle that I obey, therefore God accepts me. The gospel works on the principle that I am accepted by God through Jesus Christ, therefore I obey. Two different things. Two different things. Entirely. The older son missed the mark, but the younger son, who was lost, was found. I just happened to open the hymnal, as I do periodically during the course of the week, trying to find those hymns that you don't know. And I came across this wonderful thing. I thought, man, this is the younger son all the way. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I found. You can depend on him. It matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want the world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on. The younger son wants to pass it on to you and to me. Amen.